Okay, so we're diving into some pretty heavy stuff today. Domestic violence, restraining orders, all that. Specifically, a case in California, Inagi v. Ubo.
Yeah, this one's a bit of a head scratcher at first.
Well, it's super important for anyone dealing with family law, right? Or even just trying to understand how the law protects people, how it keeps them safe, you know?
Exactly. In this case, Inagi v. Ubo,
Yeah.
it really clarifies some key things about getting those restraining orders renewed.
We've got the case details, some legal analysis, even a sample brief. So let's break it all down, figure out what it all means. What are the big takeaways?
You hit the nail on the head. One of the biggest things that jumps out from Inagi v. Ubo is how it tackles this misconception, this idea that restraining orders are just about stopping physical violence from happening again. Like, that's all they're for.
Right. But as we'll see, it's way broader than that. So, first things first, who are the players here? Pamela Ubo and Baldwin Inagi. And what was the main issue that brought them to court?
At the heart of it, you've got Pamela Ubo and Baldwin Inagi. They were married for a while, divorced in 2010. And the big conflict. Mrs. Ubo tried to get a permanent restraining order against Mr. Inagi. But the trial court, they said no.
Ah, and that's what kicked off this whole legal battle, all the way up to the appeals court. But hold on. Why was there a restraining order in the first place? What was the history there, the abuse that led to it?
Looking back, it's clear the original restraining order was issued because there was a pattern of serious abuse during their marriage. We're talking slapping, punching, threats to her safety. There was even this one really bad incident in 2009 where he choked her. The police got involved.
Wow, that's intense. And wasn't there something specific, like a final straw, that led to that first order?
You're right. After one court hearing about their house, they were in a car together, and Mr. Inagi straight up threatened Ms. Ubo, implied she could be killed.
Oh.
That threat, combined with the history of abuse, that's why the court gave her a 3-year restraining order back in July 2009. Her fear was completely justified, based on real actions and threats.
Okay, fast forward 3 years, the order's about to expire, and Mrs. Obo wants it to be permanent. What happened in court? This seems like where the whole legal debate really starts.
It all hinges on how the trial court saw things. When Ms. Ubo asked for that permanent order in July 2012, she said she was still afraid of Mr. Inagi. But the court denied her request. Their reason: no new physical abuse since the first order. Like, nothing major between 2009 and 2012. They figured the need for the order had lessened because he hadn't physically attacked her again.
So they were basically looking for proof of new violence to justify renewing it, and that's where the appeals court stepped in, right? Saying the trial court used the wrong standard, the wrong legal precedent.
Bingo. The trial court relied on Ritchie v. Conrad. That case focuses on reasonable fear of future physical abuse, which, don't get me wrong, is definitely relevant to these situations. But the appeals court in Inagi v. Ubo, they said, hold on, you can't use that same logic when you're talking about renewing an order that was already based on proven abuse.
Got it. So the trial court was too focused on just the physical violence aspect. So how did the appeals court fix this? What was their main point?
The appeals court basically brought it back to the real definition of abuse in California law. They overturned the lower court's decision specifically because the trial court had basically said abuse means only physical harm. The appeals court said, no way, it's much bigger than that.
Right. The materials were pretty clear about that. Abuse isn't just limited to physical violence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They pointed to the actual law, Family Code Section 6203 and 6320. Those sections laid out abuse. Can be physical attack, sure, but also harassment, stalking, threats, anything that disturbs the peace of the person who's protected by the order. And this is what the trial court missed. They were stuck on whether there was new physical violence, but the law doesn't require that for a renewal. The fear from the initial abuse and anything that happens afterward, that matters too.
So it wasn't just about whether he hit her again, but if his behavior was still making her afraid, causing problems, even if it wasn't physical. That totally changes how you'd look at the case.
For sure. And that brings us to the stuff Mr. Inagi did after that first order. Even though he didn't physically hurt her, his actions after the order were still super important to the appeals court. It showed a pattern of behavior that kept Ms. Ubo in fear.
Let's get into that. What did Mrs. Ubo say Mr. Inagi did after that first order was in place? What did she tell the court?
Okay, so there were a few things. In 2010, she reported that he was following her in his car. I mean, that's scary, right? The cops even had to get involved. Then, in 2011, they ran into each other at a store. He called her over and then just stood outside, waiting for her, smiling at her in a creepy way.
Ugh, so unsettling.
Now, these weren't physical attacks, but they were definitely meant to intimidate her. You could easily call it harassment, disturbing her peace, creating that atmosphere of fear.
And the appeals court saw those actions as evidence, even though the trial court basically brushed them off because they weren't physical attacks? Sounds like the appeals court was looking at the whole picture, not just isolated incidents.
You got it. The appeals court looked at these actions, combined with the history of serious abuse, and said, yeah, it makes sense that Ms. Abo is still afraid. The trial court's mistake. They defined abuse too narrowly, so they didn't even consider these other actions as proof of ongoing risk or possible violations of the order.
That's so important, because it shows how domestic violence isn't always just about one attack, but a whole pattern of behavior, control, intimidation, fear. Okay, let's zoom out a bit. What does an IG v. Ubo tell us about California law in general, especially when it comes to renewing restraining orders?
If you think about the big picture, the whole point of the Domestic Violence Prevention Act, the DVPA, is to prevent abuse as broadly as possible, to protect the victim. It's not just about reacting to violence after it happens. It's about preventing harm, all kinds of harm.
And the phrase totality of circumstances keeps coming up. What does that mean in practice when a court is deciding whether to renew an order?
That's a really key idea. Yeah. It means when a judge is deciding on a renewal, they have to look at everything. The whole history of abuse that led to the first order. How bad was it? What kind of impact did it have? And this is super important. Anything the abuser did after that first order was put in place. It's about the whole story. Does the victim have a good reason to be afraid? Is there fear of future abuse of any kind that the law recognizes reasonable and real?
I remember the appeals court was pretty strong about saying you don't need proof of new physical violence to renew an order. They said that outright. Right?
Yeah, they said, quote, a domestic violence prevention restraining order may be renewed without a showing of any further abuse since the issuance of the original order, and the party requesting renewal need not have a fear of physical abuse specifically. That's a huge statement, really clarifying things. It means the focus is on whether protection is still needed, not just if there are new attacks.
That really clears up the confusion the trial court seemed to have. And there's another quote in the brief that really gets at the problem of demanding new abuse for a renewal. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. The appeals court said, and I'm quoting here, it would be anomalous to require the protected party to prove further abuse occurred in order to justify renewal of that original order. If this were the standard, protected party would have to demonstrate the initial order had proved ineffectual in halting the restrained party's abusive conduct just to obtain an extension of that ineffectual order.
Hmm.
They're saying, look, if the order didn't work, why would we force the victim to prove it failed just to keep it in place? That's backwards logic. The whole point of the order is to prevent things from happening in the first place.
So to all our listeners out there, especially those who are maybe going through something similar or starting family law, what's the big takeaway from Anagi v. Obo? What's the most important thing to remember about renewing restraining orders?
The bottom line is this. When a court is looking at whether to renew a domestic violence restraining order, the question isn't just about physical harm. It's about whether the person asking for the order has a reasonable fear of any type of abuse that the law defines. That's what the DVPA is all about. Full protection from a range of behaviors that can harm someone. It's about ongoing need for protection, looking at the history and what's happened since the first order, not just new attacks.
This has been really insightful. Anagi v. Obo is a game changer, especially for folks in the family law field. It shows us that protecting people from domestic violence isn't just about stopping physical attacks. It's about addressing all the behaviors that create fear and disrupt someone's peace of mind. The case really highlights how important it is to understand the legal definition of abuse and how actions that happened in the past, even if they weren't physical, can justify renewing a restraining order. So here's something to think about. How could this wider understanding of abuse, the way Anagi v. Ubo explained it, change how lawyers and courts handle these cases in the future? It's definitely something to keep in mind as you move forward in your legal journey.